الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فما بعد فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear respected brothers, sisters, elders, Ramadan al-Kareem is the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the month of the Kitab of Allah, of the Book of Allah, of the Quran al-Kareem. And it is the month of Dua. In this lecture and the next one, inshallah, bismillahi ta'ala, next Jum'ah, we will talk about how we can make our Dua more powerful. How can we make it more acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The first and foremost boundary condition, the OS on which all apps and software runs, the operating system, the platform on which everything else runs. Meaning that if this platform is corrupt, no system will work on it, no app will work on it, no software will work on it. And that system and that app, that platform is called earning and eating halal. Because that is the boundary condition that affects the acceptance of dua. In the hadith reported in Bukhari and Muslim, it is narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about a man who raised up his arms to the heavens and he is calling, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him and he said, but his food is haram, his clothes are haram. How can his dua be answered? And the muhaddithin have mentioned that clothes are haram refers to that with which he bought the clothes, meaning his earnings. Earning in haram and doubtful ways is our biggest problem today, thanks to which our duas are not accepted. It is tragic that even countries which like to call themselves Islamic have permitted interest-based banking. In many cases, they've also permitted cigarettes and tobacco businesses, alcohol, casinos, betting at races, and all kinds of other haram stuff. How can people who have accepted a declaration of war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be called Islamic? No matter what else they do. Those who indulge in interest-based banking and finance are removing their names from the list of the awliya of Allah, which is the default condition of the Muslim, and writing it themselves in the list of the enemies of Allah. And if you think that is too strong, ask yourself what you call someone you are at war with. That person is your wali or is your enemy? Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all the excuses that we make. When he prohibited interest-based finance, he knew what he was doing and why. The question is, do we trust Allah or do we think we know better? Let us remember that the quantum, the amount of our risk, and that refers to our provision in this world in every single form, material and non-material. The quantum of our risk is fixed. What we have choice about is how we want to take it. Let me give you an example. Think of it as a huge warehouse.
which is made of glass. You can see through it. And this warehouse contains every single provision that you are supposed to have in this life. It contains all your learning, it contains your spouse and children, it contains your wealth and all your cars and aeroplanes and whatever you is for you in this life. From every samosa to every Rolls Royce, every single thing that you are supposed to get in this world, imagine that that is inside this warehouse. And as you stand there, you can see everything because it's all glass. You can see everything. Now this warehouse has two doors on either end. One is marked halal and the other one is marked haram. And on the door are retina sensors. You know what a retina sensor is, right? It looks at the eye. It takes a photograph of the eye and opens the door. We have them in Doha Airport and so on. You go with an e-card, you walk through there. So the doors have retina sensors and door openers. And if you go stand there, the door will open for you. That's as simple as that. You need not do anything at all. You just go stand there, door opens. Now imagine that you are standing in front of the door marked haram. And the door opens for you. And as you are about to enter, your friend who is seeing you, he calls out and he says, hold on, wait. He said, do me a favor. Just come away from there, come around, go to the other door which is marked halal and go in. It's the same warehouse. Nothing has changed. Every single thing in that warehouse is still there. Whether you come in from this end or you come in from that end makes no difference to what is inside the warehouse. You will still get everything. Just use the other door. So makes sense. So what do? You turn around. As soon as you turn around, the door shuts. Because you're not looking at it anymore. Now you panic. And you tell your friend, no, hold on. You know what? You make the other door open and I'll come. Because now when I turn around, this door is closed, that door is closed, I will lose everything. So you make the other one open and I'll come. And your friend says, that's not in my control. I can't make it open. That thing opens by scanning your eyes. Nobody else can make it open. Take my word for it. Come here, stand in front of this door. It will open just like the other one opened. Question is, what will you do? That is the reality of our lives. Shaitan plays games with us. He incites us through his agents, which are called financial analyst, banker, wealth manager, and other kinds of fancy titles, to deal in interest by taking interest-based loans for business or to buy cars or, may Allah forgive us, if people take interest-based loans to buy TVs, can you imagine? That's a double whammy. First, you take a loan to buy something like a television set, and what are you watching on it? Including education, interest-based loans for education. In this country, that's one of the biggest rackets going. The reason why normal education is prohibitively expensive in this country has nothing to do with education. It has nothing to do even with the quality of education. It has to do with bankers and interest-based finance. Muslims take and give kickbacks. They take and give bribes, they fudge taxes. Muslims own hotels and restaurants with bars. Muslims sell tobacco, alcohol, porn, lottery, pork products. And the excuse is, if I don't do it, my business will shut down. Remember my example, halal, haram. First of all, that's not true. Secondly, if it is indeed true in your business that unless you do haram, that business will not run. If it is indeed true, then you as a Muslim have no business being in that business. That's not for you. Simple as that. The question I have to ask myself and I ask you to ask yourself is Allah our Raziq? Is it true? If it is not true, no problem. Do what you want. But if it is true, if Allah is our Raziq, and He's not just Raziq, He's Ar-Razzaq, Udhul Quwwati Al-Mateen, and He told us what is halal, and He told us what is haram, then He does not require us to use haram and disobey Him to acquire what He has already written for us. We must ask ourselves if we really believe, because only our actions reflect our real belief. There's a beautiful story of Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullahi alayh, one of the great ulama and aima of this deen from the Tabi'een. Imam Al-Awza'i says that he was going for Hajj and he was in this caravan, and this caravan got attacked by highway robbers. This was a practice in those days. They used to loot caravans, and they would loot Hajj caravans because people went with all kinds of material. So this, in the whole, you know, the caravan got looted and people got, boy, whatever happening. Suddenly Imam Awza'i rahmatullahi saw, he found himself face to face with the head of that gang of highway robbers. So there was the man with a naked sword in his hand, and he came before Imam Al-Awza'i and he said to him, "What are you? What do you do? What's your work?" Now this is one of the greatest a'imma. He is an imam on par with any of the imams we talk about. So this man asked him, "What do you do?" And Imam Al-Awza'i said, "I teach people Quran." So the man said, "Recite some Quran for me." This is a conversation happening between this highway robber, murderer, gangster, and Imam Al-Awza'i. So Imam Al-Awza'i says to him, "Recite some Quran for me." So Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullahi alayhi recited only one ayah of Surah Az-Zariyat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wafis sama'i rizqukum wa ma tu'adun." I'm talking about, do we believe that Allah is our Raziq? And I'm giving you the example of a highway robber. Not a great sheikh, not a sahabi of Rasulullah. Somebody who was murdering and looting. Imagine what his life is. So the Imam Awza'i rahmatullahi alayh reads this one ayah. "Wafis sama'i rizqukum wa ma tu'adun." In Surah Az-Zariyat, which is, and Allah says, in the heavens is your provision, is your risk, and that which you are promised. You know, there is a difference between the Quran being recited by somebody like me and being recited by somebody who lived the Quran. This one ayah, that highway robber, he started shivering. The sword fell from his hand. He said, "This is the Quran? You're sure?" Al-Awza'i, he said, "Yes, this is the Quran." He said, "My risk is in the heavens?" He said, "Yes, this is what Allah said." The man said, "Then why am I doing this? If my risk is in the heavens, then why am I doing this?" He called his people. He told them, "Give back everything to these people." He said, "Return everything you have looted. We are leaving this work now." They returned everything and they left. Imam Al-Awza'i says, "We thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We went to the haram. We finished Hajj." And he says, a few days after Hajj, he said, "I was making tawaf of the Kaaba and I heard somebody weeping." Somebody crying. And Imam Al-Awza'i says, "It was such crying of such despair and so much of grief in that crying." He said, "It was as if A mother whose baby was taken from her arms and her throat was slit and given back to her. Imagine that situation, how horrible that is. The baby is taken from the hands of the mother, the throat is slit and the baby is given back. How would that woman cry? How would that woman cry? With what grief she would cry? He said, I heard this guy. I'm thinking, who is this who is in so much of pain? He said, I looked and who does he see? He sees that gangster, the chief. Imam Azai, he says, I went to this man. I said, this is the man who was holding us up. He is here now. And he's weeping before Allah. So Imam Azai, rahmatullah, he said, I recited for him the next ayah of Surah Az-Zariyat. Which was the ayah he recited first? وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُونَ. In the heavens is your risk and what you are promised. And after that, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah is taking an oath by himself. Allah says, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ. What is haq? What he said before. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ مَا تُوَعَدُونَ. فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْتِقُونَ. Allah said, then by the Rabb of the heavens and the earth, this is the truth, that is, your risk is in the heavens. Just as it is the truth that you can speak to one another. Imam Al-Awza'i says, this man, he was not an alim, he did not know anything. He said, he turned to me. He said, Allah said this. فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Imam Al-Azhar, he said, yes. He said, Allah said this to convince me. He said, why does Allah have to take an oath to convince somebody like me? He said, why does my Rabb have to take an oath to convince somebody like me? Imam Al-Awza'i said, the man was not an alim. There was no ilm to hide him from Allah. There was no ilm to become a hijab for him from Allah. The ayah went straight to his heart. He said, my Rabb is speaking to me. Why does my Rabb Jalla Jalalhu have to take an oath to convince me? Wallahi, I believe my Rabb Jalla Jalalhu without his oath. His word is sufficient for me. Of his samai rizqukum wama tu'adun. And that's why I said, ask yourself this question. Is Allah your raziq or not? And if Allah is your raziq, by his power by which he makes me speak, I stand in his house today and tell you that your Rabb has the power and the authority and the ability to give you from sources which are halal. You do not have to disobey him. You do not have to take from doubtful places. You do not have to deal in haram to fill your belly. If that thought is coming to you, that is from shaitan. It is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. Because my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu said about himself, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all provider, the owner of power and the strongest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us where our risk is located. And he told us that he is the one who provides and that he has the power to do so. Let us ask ourselves if we believe Allah or we believe shaitan, who tells us the opposite. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد,
فقال تعالى ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to make dua. And as I told you, the boundary condition, the platform on which it all runs is eating and earning and eating halal. Make sure that nothing which is doubtful passes your lips. Nothing which is doubtful passes your lips. Make absolutely sure of that. Anything which is doubtful, leave it. Don't touch it. Make sure that nothing which is doubtful comes into your bank account. Make absolutely sure of that. About making dua, the method Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the opening ayat of Surah Al-Maryam, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Kafha ya ayn sad. ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا إذ نادى ربه نداء خفيا قال رب إني وهن العظم مني واشتعل الرأس شيبا ولم أكن بدعائك ربي شقيا وإني خفت الموالي من ورائي وكانت امرأتي عاقرا فهب لي من لدنك وليا
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means كاف ها يا عين صاد, the حروف المقطعات, the meaning of which only Allah knows. This is a mention of the mercy of your Rabb to his slave Zakaria when he called out to his Rabb in secret, softly, saying, My Rabb, indeed my bones have grown feeble and gray hair has spread on my head, but I have never been unblessed in my dua to you, O my Rabb. You have never rejected my dua. And verily I fear my relatives after me because my wife is barren. She is beyond the age of childbirth. So give me from yourself an heir. Give me from yourself an heir. The way to dua, and I'm summarizing from the numerous ahadith on the subject, is to follow the method that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us in this ayah. One, go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala broken. Go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your reality, which is nothing, which is less than nothing. Don't stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh, I'm so strong. No, you're not strong. You can't even, every breath we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak about your own weakness. This is what Zakaria alayhi salam did. Oh Allah, my bones are weak. Oh Allah, my head is, my wife is barren. My hair is all white. Then glorify and speak about the glory and majesty and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Speak about your weakness. Then glorify and speak about the glory and majesty of Allah. Then speak about your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zakaria alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, you never refuse my dua. Alhamdulillah, I'm thankful to you. You never refuse my dua. So ask about, speak about and invoke your connection with Allah. And obviously it means that before I can invoke something, I must have a connection. That's why we must work, and that's why Ramadan al-Kareem comes, to make the connection and to strengthen the connection. So we can use the connection. And then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what you want, keeping in focus His glory and majesty, not your weakness. Zakaria alayhi salam is saying, I am old, I am weak, my bones are weak, my hair is white, my wife is barren. He's not saying, give me a second wife. No. He's saying, give me a son, give me an heir, give me somebody to inherit this work of deen. So if you were to go and ask him, but you know, you are weak and old and your wife is beyond childbirth, so how is it going to happen? What would he tell you? He would tell you, that's not my problem. I'm asking the one who can do whatever he wants. He brought out a female pregnant camel from a rock. What's more difficult? This is what Zakaria alayhi salam would tell us if we ask him that question. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keeping His glory and majesty in focus, not our weakness and whatnot. and ask with complete certainty that He has the power to give. All that is needed is for us to persuade Him to do that. So work on that with persistence. Rasulullah ﷺ advised the following with respect to dua. Number one, he said, glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Begins with that. Glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then send salat and salam on Rasulullah ﷺ, durood. And then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not become impatient. Don't say, I asked and asked and asked, but nothing is happening. No. Remember Yusuf alayhi salam, how many years did it take for his dream to come true? 40 plus years. Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua, how many years did it take for him to have a son? At what age? And then remember, he made a dua when he left his children, when he left his wife and son in Makkah. He made a dua which was effectively the dua asking for a Nabi, which was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many years did that take to happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows his time frames and he knows what is best. So keep asking with complete certainty that you are speaking to a Rabb who listens and understands even better than you. And he responds and has the power to do anything he wishes. Number three, make dua in a voice that is neither too soft nor too loud. Don't yell. There was a man who was asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him and said, you are called on your Rabb with humility softly. Your Rabb is not deaf. Number four, don't say, oh Allah, give me whatever you wish or give me if you wish. Ask with certainty, with full faith that Allah can and will give. Nobody can force Allah to give what he doesn't want to give. It's the duty of the slave to ask like a slave. So go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he likes to see that. So do that. Number five, the best times to make du'as. Best time is in tahajjud. Abu Umama radiallahu anhu reported, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, at what time does dua find the greatest response? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, a dua made during the middle of the last part of the night and after the conclusion of the Fard Salah. After Fard Salah is the time for acceptance of dua, special acceptance of dua, and also time of tahajjud. And this is in Tirmidhi. Dua can be made in after salah or during the sujood, and some scholars have said that this dua can be made in any language. Anyway, we are not going into the discussions and all that. There are many other times of dua. One of them is a special time in Jum'ah, a short time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives whatever the slave asks for. So let us make lots of dua on a Friday. And then of course, we are in Ramadan, so dua is accepted at the time of breaking the fast. So let's spend time in iftar making dua and not being involved with food. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith, Sahih hadith in Ibn Majah, he said, indeed the fasting person has at the time of breaking the fast a dua which is not rejected. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in a hadith, Sahih hadith in Bayhaqi, three duas are not rejected. The dua of a parent for the children, a dua of a fasting person, and a dua of a traveler. And in another hadith, Musnad Imam Ahmad, Sahih hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are in the month of Ramadan, in every day and night, those to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants freedom from the fire, and there is for every Muslim a dua which he can make, and it will be granted. I want to end with this, another hadith in Tirmidhi, narrated by Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. He said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the miser, the stingy person is the one in whose presence I am mentioned, but he does not make dua for me. And the dua on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to send durood and salam on him. And this is something which is specially recommended on Fridays, but we must make this into a habit and do it every day of our lives, inshallah. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person sends durood and salam on him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 10 times salam on that individual. Allah wipes out 10 of his sins, enters 10 good deeds in his book, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises his darajat 10 times. I want to end with this hadith of Anas bin Malik radhiyallahu anhu. He said, I was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a man was standing and praying. Then he made ruku, sujood, recited tashahud, and then he made dua. And in this dua, he said, Allahumma inni asaluka bi anna lakal hamd. La ilaha illa ant. Al-mannan badi'u samawati wal ard. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Ya hayyu ya qayyum. Inni asaluka. And he asked the dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the people, do you know what he made dua with? They said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah and his Nabi know the best. He said, by the one in whose hand is my soul, he called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his greatest name, which if he is called by, he responds. And if he is asked, he gives. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, this is in Sahih hadith in Sunan Nasai. Another hadith in Tirmidhi, in Ahmad and Hakim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the dua of Dhunnun, that is Yunus alayhi salam, by which he invoked Allah from inside the belly of the fish, which is, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin, is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no Muslim ever makes a dua by this, but Allah grants it. And finally, Anas bin Malik says that his mother, Umm Sulaym, radiallahu anha, came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach me some words that I may make dua with during my salah. He said, say Subhanallah 10 times, Alhamdulillah 10 times, and Allahu Akbar 10 times, and then ask Allah for what you need, and he will say, yes, yes. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your siyam and qiyam and tilawat al-Quran and your sadaqat and khairat in this month. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you in keeping with his majesty and grace. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify you, to purify your earnings, to purify your amal, to purify everything you do in your life, and to keep you in that state of purity until the time comes when the time comes for you to meet him, and to meet you then in a state where he is pleased with you and he forgives you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to give you good health all the way to the end of Ramadan and all the way thereafter, inshallah. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyatina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azaban nar. Ya ibadallah, rahimakumullah, inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة.